in what abundance do you make zikr? You make it to that extent, hatta yaqulu majnoon, people begin to say, this man is off. Someone asked, what's the difference between us and the Sahaba Ikram? So they say that if we had to see the Sahaba Ikram, we would have said that they are mad, they're off. If the Sahaba Ikram had to see us, they would say that these are kafirs, zindiqs. Right? So there is a world of a difference, and the difference is because of the outlook. What's the outlook? What is the theme of the life? Sahaba Ikram, these awliya of the past, the whole theme of the life was Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Akhirat. And now presently, these things are just by the way. We'll find some, scratch some time and do these things, and we'll do it by the way. And in their lives, that was the very theme. It was the very flavor, the very color of their lives. You see them at any time of the day or night, in any work, and this is the very theme of their lives. So that's the difference between the Sahaba Ikram and us. The Busughanuddin has described these four things that we had explained earlier on, for Islah Batin, for the perfection, for the correction of the soul, four things. One is to sleep less, to meet less, talk less, and to eat less. And the mashayikh in this day and time say that sleeping, eating, there you don't have to decrease it really, but meeting and talking, that you have to decrease. So, if someone misconstrues the meaning, it's alright, I'll sleep all the time. So if I sleep all the time, then automatically I will be saved from meeting. You can't go and meet when you're sleeping. Yeah? So automatically you'll be saved from meeting. And then if you're sleeping, you won't be talking also. So they gave the license for eating, and they gave the license for sleeping. So I will do this, and automatically this thing will be achieved. So this is misconstruing of the meaning. This is you're misconstruing, you're taking the wrong end. We know in our life that we have khamsa zaruriyat. We have five basic needs: eating, sleeping, drinking. Eat, sleep, drink, water, and air. These are five human needs, right? Now, if they are all balanced up, then you'll find a balanced body, strong, well-abled, and balanced body. But if one thing is not right, then the body will not be well-balanced. It won't be in that proportion, that shape that you would desire. Man is eating and all that, but he's not drinking. Right? So will that body be balanced? It won't be balanced. Or he's drinking, but he's not eating. Going through a water diet, so he's not eating. So if he's going to go on with that, then he's not going to have the correct amount of solids, and obviously the body's not going to go right. So these five things have to be all balanced for that balanced body. And that balanced body is really the beauty in the man, right? What is beauty? You talk of beauty, what is beauty? Beauty is the balance. The man is too tall, then you see, no, something is off, right? Going for a proposal and the girl is too tall. Not going to be happy about it. Same, she's very intelligent, but she's very short, extremely short. Then too, it's not going to be working out. They say, short person is fitna. In Persia, they had was a king, Noshirawa, right? So one person came to complain to him that person, he is doing wrong to me, you know, being cruel towards me. So you must at least sort him out, you see. the Noshirawa king says, I can't believe you because you are a short person. And every short person has got some fitna, you know. They got some mischief. So he says, no, what you're saying is right, that short people have mischief. But the problem is that person is doing mischief to me. He's even shorter than me. So when the body is in balance, you'll find that there is beauty in that body, right? But if one thing is off the balance, the balance is not there, then you will find that, beauty is not in that body. So the same thing applies to your spiritual self. See, like you are a human, right? You have a spiritual side of yourself. And if that spiritual self is attended, you will feel the satisfaction, you will feel happiness. And if that spiritual thing is not looked after, afterwards you will find that even in the material you don't find the happiness and you won't find fulfillment. Right? You'll find many a wealthy person will tell you this day that we've seen everything, but we don't have any taste in life. Now lately, one week ago, one person said the same thing. Very, very wealthy, extremely wealthy. And he also said the same thing, that we don't have that happiness in life. We've seen everything, we tasted everything, we did everything, but that happiness that we used to enjoy sometime, we don't enjoy it now. So the reason is the same, that the material has got a certain cut-off duration. It's got a cut-off time. At that point, it cuts off. Now you're looking for the satisfaction in the wrong place. Right? Alright, it was, a lot of people come to Swingo Beach, to live in Swingo Beach, and they say, you know, hey, we come to enjoy the scenery, you know. We'll take a house and take a house right near the beach, so we have a good scenery all the time. Then after 3 years, you ask them, when last did you really admire the beach? So, well, the day that we came, that day, I was admiring, after that, So the material is such, you see, the material, anything that is worldly, it's got a taste, but the taste is limited, it's to one point. You can't stretch it after that. See, it's people that are in drugs, right? They will also tell you that we're going to drugs, why? We're trying to capture that original taste. That original taste doesn't come. It comes for the first time, and after that, it's ended, it's terminated. Now we're trying to get that first taste, that first excitement that you're not going to get. Now this is with all the material. You ask a youngster, right? Ask a youngster. It's not a good example, but that's the most fitting answer, the most fitting example that I've got in my mind, or that will make you understand. Right? What was your temperament? How did you feel with the first encounter with a girl? Whichever way, haram, halal way. Now, that was something like a thrill, fantasy, excitement, right? Now, do you get that again? Now, you won't get that again. Whether it was halal or haram, whatever it was, Allah knows. But that first encounter is the first encounter. You don't experience that first encounter again. So this is the nature of the world. What I'm trying to explain is this is the nature of the world, that its taste, its enjoyment, it's got a limit. Lately, one person was showing me one article on suicide, you know. And he shows that about 50 or 60 wealthiest families in the world, worldwide, 50 or 60 wealthiest. Right? And in every family, every family of that 50, there was a suicidal case. 50 wealthiest, but there was a member in each family that committed suicide. Now, if that wealth and that material had that satisfaction, then definitely they wouldn't be the ones victims for suicide. But why did they commit suicide? So they tasted everything and they reached a point they were looking for fire and they couldn't find it. When they couldn't find it, then they thought to themselves that this is the God that we worked for. But this God is limited. He's got nothing else for us. He's got something for us. But this is the point that he's got. And he doesn't have anything more than that. So what's the point of living? What's the point in living when this is the cut-off point? He can't give us anything further. Then what's the need to live? So there they went and committed suicide. Now, what Allah Pak has got is different. The taste is always, it's always enjoyment. That's why you'll find is awliya, buzrugan adin, you'll find that there is a serenity on their faces. See ma uli, there's a serenity, there's a peace. As though within they're enjoying something. And now you want to go and steal it from them, but you don't know how to get it from them. So there is some serenity. Now the reason for the serenity is that they have balanced themselves. And they are balanced, why? They have tipped the scale in this respect, that they have got more spiritualism in them than material. Right? And spiritualism is such that the happiness is continuous, it's constant. So they link themselves to that realm. That realm that connects to spiritualism. That realm and that place that connects to happiness, they have connected themselves. The source of happiness. So kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. All the time they are in some new splendor. They're experiencing some new splendor. Today is another splendor. Tomorrow is another splendor. At namaz they're getting another enjoyment. In tilawat they're getting another enjoyment. Whilst they're with their friends they are getting another enjoyment. So this enjoyment all the way. At no time you will find that they are dull. If they are concerned, then it's concern about generally about people. People has come right, they mustn't go to Jahannam, etc. But they don't feel that type of gloom and that dull feeling like we go through. We go through dull patches in our lives. And it's in their lives it's always happiness. It's always happiness, splendor, beauty, brightness. Why? They have link themselves. See, they link themselves to that realm. Everything is a source, isn't it? So there must be a source for misery as well. Misery, pain. Agony, there is a source for it. What is that source? That source is Jahannam. تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْثِ كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا. It's reached the bursting point. It seems to have reached the bursting point because of inner fury and inner raging. It's raging, the Jahannam is raging and it's reaching that bursting point. So it's filled with agony and grief. Now if a man goes on that line, right, so he's linked himself with the place of fury. He's linked himself with the house of agony. He's linked himself with the house and with the realm of pain. No matter what he is going to do, his pain is going to increase. Now he's trying to look for it in different places. Sometimes he's looking for it in the television. He's not coming. Perhaps for that moment it satisfies him. And then he's back to square one. Then he says, alright, let me go overseas. I'll just relax a little bit. He goes and he comes back with more dull spirits. Then he says, no, let me buy a motor car. Perhaps the dullness is because they don't have a nice car. He buys a nice car, top of the range. But he's still at that same point. In fact, whatever he's doing, it's just increasing to his agony, to his grief, and to his dullness. Whatever he's doing, it's just mounting. The reason is that he's linked himself to the house of grief. Dar al-Bawar, Jahannam. The house of destruction. Allah is saying that Dar al-Bawar. It's that house of destruction. The house of ruin. So he's linked himself there. When he's linked himself there, then he'll be a ruin. Each day will bring a new ruin to him. Anything that comes his way, he will be a ruin. So this is the reason for their gloominess. That on account of their actions, they have linked themselves to that Dar al-Bawar. And they link themselves to the Dar al-Bawar. Apart from the Jahannam that they will eventually get into, they're already getting the taste of the Jahannam in this life, in this world. Right? So similarly, there must be a house, there must be a source for happiness. Happiness, joy, cheer. There must be a place that you're cheering all the time. One person is about dying. So you look at this Ahlullah, and what is the cheer that they die with as well? So, he was known to be a person very jolly and very cheerful. He had a humorous outlook. different Ahlullah are different. Now if you see someone a little bit serious, they don't think, now, why is he so serious? The garden has to have all different type of flowers in order to make it beautiful. You have only roses, then too it doesn't look too smart, isn't it? You have different varieties, different fragrance. So this person is about to pass away. So he made a bequest to his friend. Well, you know what? See, I'm dying now. My dear is still back. So I'm making a bequest. Since you're my very close friend, I'm making a bequest to you. That when I die, and you'll put all the kafan, everything, just take some flour and just anoint my beard with it. That my beard must look white. My beard and my hair must look white. Take some flour and rub it nicely. So I have a white beard, and then I go. His brother friend told him that your whole life you spent laughing and joking and humor, and now you're dying with that as well. So, listen, aren't you my friend? Will you listen or not? Now, when he comes to that side of the world, Malakul Maut or the Munkar Nakir is asking, man, what is his business? What is his business? Again, this humor is continuing. He says, see, the problem is this, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has promised that Allah Ta'ala is merciful towards that person whose hair is black, whose hair is white. I don't have that white hair. Now how must I get that white hair? So I said, let me try and imitate at least. I'll at least imitate that old man, and Allah Ta'ala will throw me in as well. Just on account of that, Allah Ta'ala forgave him. So their cheer and their happiness is constant, it's continuous. It's not no moments of grief and agony and pain like how we go through. So this is because they have connected themselves with that realm that is the source, the base of happiness. They've connected them. Very firmly they've connected. So every day it's a new happiness. You see the morsel of food that we eat, right? The enjoyment is to which point? The enjoyment is from the mouth till the throat, isn't it? Beyond the throat, is there any enjoyment? You have that biryani now, fish biryani. Yeah. Is there any enjoyment beyond the throat? There's no enjoyment. It's a cut-off point. So Allah Pak is telling you, Allah Pak would have made it such that there's enjoyment right through. In the throat, there's an enjoyment. Then coming down the pipe is another enjoyment. Going down to the stomach is enjoyment. Then it's coming out is another enjoyment. But the enjoyment is only to this point. And after that, there's no enjoyment at all. Is to show you something. It is to show us something. Don't work so hard after something whose enjoyment is so short. How long will it be? About 10 centimeters? See? Maximum 10 centimeters, isn't it? 10, 12 centimeters, not beyond that. You're working so hard only for the 10 centimeter of enjoyment. Does it make sense? But nobody will accept that. Eh? If they accept that, all the shops, you know, in Overport, Brickfield Road, all the shops will close down. See the brick field, or from one end to the other, I think about, I was seeing one day about 30 takeaways restaurant. Wrap it up and what, right, one end to the other. So nobody understands it in that way. But anyway, that's besides the point. So Allah Ta'ala is impressing upon us that see, the enjoyment is so short. So why kill yourself for this? Don't kill yourself. Alright, you have to work, but moderately. Don't kill yourself. The enjoyment is just 10 centimeters. But in Jannat, that enjoyment is continuous, is perpetual. In Jannat, you're not going to eat because you'll be starving. No, na'uzubillah. You know, there's no starvation in Jannat. But you'll be eating for excitement and enjoyment all the time. Now you're eating that, right? You're eating an orange, for example, right? So as it goes through your throat, there's one enjoyment. It's going down to your throat, it's another enjoyment. Coming down the pipe is another enjoyment. Going into your stomach is another enjoyment. Until when it comes out, is another enjoyment. It comes out in a beautiful burp with a nice fragrance. Nice, beautiful fragrance is coming out. So it's enjoyment, new experiences all the time. Experience something now. There's another excitement now. And there's another excitement. There's another enjoyment. There's enjoyment all the way. So that is Jannat. So, unfortunately, we connect ourselves to this too strongly. Right? And we didn't connect ourselves to that realm. And because that connection to that realm has weakened down. Therefore, the lives seem to be so hollow. The lives don't seem to have the type of meaning. The life doesn't have the type of fulfillment. There's no enjoyment. There's no meaning to your life. Why is there no meaning? Because it cuts off at a certain point. You understand it. You know it. And it cuts off. So Jannat is that place where the enjoyment is all the time. It's all the time. And the enjoyment and excitement doesn't end up. Like here, you eat, right? You eat one plate. Sehri time, or iftar time, maybe two plates you'll eat, right? You have some savouries or whatever, the meals. So you'll eat that. And after you had one or two plates, after that, can you push anything more? Can't push. In fact, you know that if you push anything more, you'll have trouble in the Taraweeh, or you'll have trouble the following day. So you'd rather just eat moderately, then you'll be safe. Right? But in Jannat, you'll eat for 50,000 years continuously, and you'll still go through that motions of excitement and happiness. 50,000 years, one way eating. Khate chale jao, aur maze lete raho. Khate chale jao, aur maze lete raho. Go and eat, and continuously take that enjoyment and happiness. You're eating chops. You're sitting at a braai and you're enjoying it. Right? And you're enjoying it for 50,000 years. Imagine, all the friends are there. all the acquaintance are there. Whether it's your father, your son, your children, your wife, everybody, you know, eating and merry, making merry. And that making merry is not cutting off, it's going all the time. It's 50,000 years, 100,000 years, and you're still enjoying it all the time. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi say that one thing in this world fills me up with agony and grief. The thing that fills me up with agony and grief is the fact that understanding that there is going to be a separation in this world. We'll separate, right? No matter how much you love, أَحْبِبْ مَنْ شَئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُ. Right? You desire for it, you love it. You can love it to whatever point, whatever limit. But you have to separate, you have to cut off. You can't continuously live, can you? Whether it's your wealth, whether nothing separates from you, or you separate from it. But there is a separation point. It's a person you love so dearly, right? So whether he separates or you separate, but there is going to be a separation point. Right? So he says, this really causes me a lot of grief, a lot of pain. I understand that there is going to be a separation. Or when there's friends, you know, Buzurganadeen, and people that think the same, you know, all Buzurganadeen, pious people, all that I know. And we are together and then we have to leave. Now he's going to Kufa, he's going to Baghdad, he's going to Makkah, he's going to Medina, Munawwara. And we came, we spent that 2-3 days, and it was such a lovable, enjoyable environment. Then that 3-4 days ended and we had to take our roots, we had to take our ways. So that brought me a lot of agony, a lot of pain. So this brings me a lot of agony, a lot of pain. But then I think of the hereafter, and then there's no end to my happiness. Because I hear in Jannat, there'll be mulaqat all the time, you'll be meeting all the time. You want to see, now you want to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you're going there, right? You want to go and see Musa Alayhi Salaam, you're going sitting by him. You heard about Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani, you say, let me go and sit in his majlis a little bit, let me go and sit by him. Right? You heard of one Sahabi, for example, Miqdad ibn Aswad radiallahu anhu, you heard him, how he conducted himself at the time of Badr or whatever. Let me go and spark some, let me go and sit on there. Then suddenly say, no, let me go and see by Bilal radiallahu anhu. So you're just going and meeting all the time. And that meeting is not just ending, all the time, meeting and meeting and meeting. So this brings endless happiness to my heart. That in Jannat, there will be a constant meeting. Lately, I don't know how many people passed away, people that I knew. Good people, I won't say they're very pious, but moderate Muslims. And from at least 3 or 4 of them, I heard it, that now let me go now, because so-and-so is waiting for me. It's my mother that's waiting for me. One person actually said, Nabi Sallam is waiting for me. Let me leave now. Let me leave now. Nabi Sallam is waiting for me. So-and-so is waiting for me. He is waiting for me. See? So you see that Jannat is a place where there's going to be meeting all the time. All the time. There is not going to be a point where you say, hey, we cut and we go our ends. We go our own ways. It's going to be a meeting all the time. But then, there must be a procedure, obviously. You want to go, there must be a procedure. So Allah Pak is saying, Al-akhillau yawma idhim ba'duhum li ba'din aduvun. and friends on the day of Qiyamah. See, once you pass here, then in the hereafter, what happens? Al-akhillau yawma idhin ba'dhum li ba'din adu. Then there's going to be enmity. Here, you were supporting each other in the vice, in the wrong, in whatever else, material, right? But this friendship was because of some mawaddata baynikum fil hayati dunya. Qala innama attakhastum awthanam mawaddata baynikum. You have created idols. Idols can be have a lot of meaning. In Arabic, idols can have several meanings. فَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهُ هُوَا كُلُّ مَنْ مَا أَلْحَاكَ عَنِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ سَنَمُكَ. Right? So, قَالَ إِنَّمَا اتَّخَذْتُمْ أَوْثَانًا مَوَدَّةَ بَيْنِكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We have taken certain idols. When we talk of idol, what we mean in the broader spectrum, what do we mean? Anything that distracts you from Allah Ta'ala is your idol. Anything. Be it your business or be it your motor car, whatever takes you away from Allah Ta'ala. That is your idol. If, for example, you know, like a Mawlana or someone, and he's too interested in his kitabs, he's got not sufficient time to his wife, you know. So what the wife would say, may Allah Ta'ala destroy these kitabs. You got married to me or you got married to those kitabs? You should have told me first that you married to the kitabs, you haven't got time for me. Right? So like that wife, she is so envious of you, Allah Pak wants your attention also. Allah Pak wants your attention. And you say, I haven't got time for you. So can you see how Allah who didn't make you, who is just your companion, right? And she is demanding so much of you. And what is Allah Ta'ala not worthy of? What doesn't He deserve of you? He deserves everything of you. All your time, all your attention He deserves from you. So now you allowing this thing to distract you from Allah Ta'ala, that thing to distract you, this thing to turn you away, that thing to turn you away. Everything is turning you away from Allah Ta'ala. Now that becomes your God, your wife becomes your God, your son becomes your God, your business becomes your God. Everything else becomes your God than Allah Ta'ala Himself. So this is what displeases Allah Ta'ala. Kullu ma alhaka. Thing that distracts you from Allah Ta'ala. You have to ask yourself continuously, constantly, is Allah Pak happy with this? Is Allah Ta'ala happy with this? Would Allah Ta'ala be pleased with it? Simple. Is that a complicated thing? Not a complicated thing. Is my Rabb, who's been so kind, he's been so loving, so affectionate towards me, is he happy? You know, you think many a times really Allah Ta'ala's love and his kindness is beyond our imagination, really. Beyond our imagination. Look at this colorful picturesque, etc., right? Look at it. What is it for? It is just for the excitement of the eye. Right? You go out, you look at a plant, the picture, the color, the formation, the taste, the shape, etc. Why did Allah do it like that? There may be other reasons, but one is also for the thrill of your eye. Isn't it? For the enjoyment, the excitement of your eye, that your eye must be happy, you must feel happy about it. So can you imagine that Rabb, who is so kind, that just for the satisfaction of your eye, He did something. Can you imagine someone more kind than that, more compassionate? You just look out, look at this plant here. How beautiful it looks, eh? Like a garland it looks, doesn't it look? See that flower a little bit, that green, eh? How beautiful. But now why did Allah Ta'ala do it like that? There may be other reasons that's known best to Him. But also, obviously, for the thrill of our eyes. He's done so much for our beauty, for our thrill, for our excitement. And then too, we don't appreciate His kindness. We don't appreciate His affection. We don't appreciate His compassion. Really, then, there is no punishment that is sufficient for that person. No punishment. He did so much, so much. Look, you are feeling gloomy, you're feeling dull. Right? At night, you're feeling gloomy, you're feeling dull. And you just raise your eyes to the sky, clear sky, stars and all that. And only for 5 minutes, such a soothing and comfortable feeling you get within your mind. Don't you feel open sky, there's nothing to obstruct your vision to the sky. And what a relaxed feeling you have in your mind, at heart. So He's giving you that tranquility, He's giving you that relaxation, He's giving you that... You're tired. And you come home. And you don't know whether your head went on the pillow first or the sleep came first. And you come up and you get up again with such a beautiful spirit. So who is doing all this? Do you understand how loving he is? So when he is so loving, then does he deserve this type of a treatment that you just take his name by the way? You think of him now and then, just when it's your convenience, you think about him. Does he deserve that? So what we are talking of, وَقَالَ إِنَّمَا اتَّخَذْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ أَوْثَانَ, what's that ayat? مِنْ دُونِ لَا أَوْثَانَ مَوَدَّةَ بَيْنِكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Ibrahim al-Islam, in the course of his advising his people, he says to them that you have struck relationship and friendship amongst yourself, right? For what? مَوَدَّةَ بَيْنِكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Just because of mutual social consideration. What? Mutual social consideration, right? So your friendship, you are worshipping that idol, that path that you are going, that cause that you have taken, why you have taken that cause. Ask yourself, you ask that Christian, for example, to make this picture a little bit more clear, you ask a Christian, why is he in Christianity? He will say to you that I understand it's wrong, but then I'll be ostracized, I'll be cut off my whole people, my folks, I'll be totally cut off from them. Who will I have to socialize with? I won't have anybody. So I do it just because of consideration. Whereas I know it's not the right thing, not the best thing, but now I need something for my own mental ease, my relaxation, my own soothing of my mind. I need something. So that is now that person who's gone out of Islam. Even we who are called Muslims, right? A lot of things that we enter and we attend or we go through, a lot of classes, that I am considered part of the club. I am counted part of the guys. I am not cut out. I am not ostracized. Not totally thrown out. You know, I am casted out. I mustn't be counted like that. I am part of the group. I am part of the company. So we do it why? That we may be recognized. Not because we see the wisdom in it. We do it why? Because people may show us that support, you know, they show us that type of friendship and that affection. So we're looking out for friendship there, therefore we are showing that type of respect to these wrong ways that we know that is not right. I'm going to make that wedding, I'm not going to do it like this, then how is this person going to feel, how is he going to take it, and how am I going to continue with my life? So I have to do something just to respect his feeling, just to be in the good books with him, to curry favor with that person. Just look at this. Broaden this ayat, you know, make a'tibar. فَاَتَبِيرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Let's make a'tibar. And why is this friendship, and why do we do anything that we do? This مَوَدَّةَ بَيْنِكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Mutual relationship, that friendship, we want that friendship to continue. We don't want to compromise that relationship, therefore we do a lot of things, right? ثُمَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا وَيَلْعَنُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Today you're doing it for friendship. Today you're doing that you may fit into the group. Today you're doing it for consideration. Today you're doing it for recognition. But then, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. On the day of Qiyamah, that you don't want to see the person, you're rejecting him. Go, get out from here. And you're going to actually curse the person. وَيَلْعَنُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And you're going to curse the person. So is it worth the while? Here in this verse, أَلْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. That friendship is going to be transformed on that day into enmity. Because a friendship, sometimes between a wife and husband, the husband is going in a certain line because of the wife. Wife is eating up his mind and she is giving him the key from all the time. So he goes into a direction, but why? Because of the wife. Many a times, the husband doesn't want to do it, but now he says, hey, now I have to keep the peace with the wife. Now what must I do? Maybe I'll do it now, I'll make Toba afterwards. Especially in the wedding and all that. So, she will dictate to you what must be done. The wife will tell you what must be done. Alright, 6 months before the marriage, do this mehndi party. Then you must do, 3 months before that, do bridal party. And then the bridal party, this is how you must do it. This is how you must put all the stickers and all that in the room. And what you must do. So she will call the shots, she will tell you exactly. And the husband will become such an ullu at that time, and he will say, no, ask Benny, you know. Whatever Ben says, tell his wife, Benny or Bibi, whatever she says, you must just do it, just design it accordingly.
I don't know about the finer details. The finer masalas about all these things she knows. Does it happen or doesn't it happen? ثُمَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُ. You're doing all this for that. For what are you doing it? You're doing it for that. On the one side you left that. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَصَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. Just a contrast. Your leanings towards this type of things against the leanings towards the real creator. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ. See what, with what affection Allah is speaking to you. And what deceived you? The most compassionate Rabb. What turned you away from him? الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَصَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. He created you, he fashioned you, he proportioned you. Like I was showing you, proportion, you know. Everything in proportion. Imagine a man, one ear is short, one ear is right size. Will you feel good in public? You'll feel embarrassed. So خَلَقَكَ فَصَوَّاكَ. He fashioned you. And he proportioned you after all. Don't you see? فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ سُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. The one side, he has done so much. And these things have done nothing to you. Then your loyalties, your allegiance is all bent on that side. And this side you have totally forgotten. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ أَلَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَصَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ سُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. So, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is showing the whole picture, the whole spectacle of the day of Qiyamah. أَلَخِلَّاهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٍ. All enmity. I don't want to see the person now. I don't want to talk to him. I'm cursing him actually. Just now, we were like napkin friends. You know they say in English, napkin friends. Langoti dost. Urdu is langoti dost. And in English, napkin friends. Right? And now, you don't want to see the person. Why? You don't want to see your wife. You don't want to see your child. You don't want to see your father. You don't want to see your friend. You don't want to see the person that is your contempt. No, you don't want to see anybody. Why? الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضٌ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. But now coming back to the statement of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, that mulaqat in the hereafter will be a constant, continuous one. It's just a transfer from one realm to the other realm. It's a transfer. It's a move from one realm to the other realm. You hear of awliya-i kiram, and someone, after they die, someone looks at their body. So that person must also be an Allah wala, and the Buzurg must be also an Allah wala. So he shakes him up and says, but I see you're still alive. So don't you know that the Ahlullah, they don't die, they just move. They are just shifted from one realm to the other realm. Don't you know about that? So it's just a shift. It's not real, like, you know, dying and termination. It's a continuity, but from one station to the other station. You came from one airport to the next airport, right? You left at one airport, there's different styles there, and you're going to another airport, there's different styles, different values there. So, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضٌ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. So that people of restraint, people that restrain themselves. In other words, we're talking of the purification of the soul, right? That's what we're talking of, rectification of the soul, rectification of the soul and of the heart. So this rectification comes with taqwa, restraint. When you restrain yourself, then you'll find that whole shape will come like it's supposed to come. How it's supposed to be, it's going to be. So your friendship is going to be continuous. It's not going to terminate. الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. So the bottom line, you know, that common denominator is what? Taqwa. And the taqwa means restraint. Just keep away. Don't get absorbed. You'll see the glitter, you'll see the glamour, you'll see all that. But don't get absorbed in it. Just keep away. And you'll see everything is working out for you. Right? In Arabic they say, Al-himyatu ra'asud dawa. You know, people say, no, this medication is very good, and that medication is very good, and that medication is very good, don't they say? But then you ask an experienced doctor is not commercialized. You see, now you get different doctors, commercialized, not commercialized. Man who is faithful and loyal to his profession, he will give you a different picture. He'll tell you, you know what? Al-himyatu ra'asu kulli da'in. He says, you want the most perfect and most comprehensive medication. I tell you the best medication. The best medication is you diet. But not in this term, like let's say diet, you know. Take that medication or not. You take a diet. In other words, you see what is not agreeable to your body at that age. You see, as you are aging, then you need to adjust your diet according to your age. Now, at the age of 50, you can't eat like a child of 15. 15, you could eat anything and everything. And everything is just digested, goes down the system and it comes out nicely, right? Everything happens well. But now at the age of 50, you want to act like 15. Obviously, you're taking it wrong. So he'll tell you, you just diet. You just diet. Diet means restrain. You just restrain. You see what... And really, you don't need a doctor for all that. You need to see your own body, how it works, how it functions. What time I eat, I see my body functions, my body is well for the whole night. And how do I eat in the morning, that I see I can perform well, I can focus well, I'm focused in my work, I'm bright, I can attend the meeting, I can talk to people, I can look at my business. So you look at all that and you look at your performance, you will strike the right type of diet. So Allah Pak is saying, Alladheen amanu wa kanu yattaqoon, that the whole secret of this life is diet. But like the doctor will tell you, the secret of life is dieting. Allah Pak says the same thing, that the secret of life is dieting. You diet from what? Anything that you feel unclear about, you diet from it. You feel unclear about a business, you leave it. Unclear about a friend, you leave it. Unclear about a program, you leave it. Unclear about a radio station, you leave it. Unclear about a certain type of a deal, leave it. See? Unclear about a certain person, leave it. You don't have to go and fight with the person, remember? That is now the work of other senior ulama, they will go and shout that person, whoever it is. Let them be responsible. They are responsible, they will do it. We act according to our levels. Now, we don't now pretend to be those senior ulama. They will do their work. We work according to our levels and our capacity. We live within our means. With their advice, obviously. With their advice, we will work. But we go through that diet. Simple thing. Is that not difficult? Is that a complicated thing? Not a complicated thing. But now, the thing is, you understood the diet very well, right? Somebody showed a diet. He showed a picture of a nice fat person, 200 kilos, and how he trimmed himself to 75, 80 kilos. Hey, I'm going to go for this. Right? Or they show you on karate, right? They talk to one karate person. Alright, he got that, how many belts he got and all that, whatever. And he broke so many bricks and all that. One strike and he broke it. But from the classes, from those that go to the classes, right, from 500 people, 2 people will come out. Right, with those colors, only 2 people will come out. The same thing applies with this dieting. So many will read and whatever. There will be just a handful, 3-4 people that will really be successful in the diet. Right. Now, you need something to incite you, something to induce, you know, something to induce. Induce what? This diet. You're talking of taqwa, but we need something to induce that taqwa. Right? Now that's where we're stuck now. Where we need something to induce us. We understood it, alright? Jannat, you understood. Jahannam, you understood. We understood that we need to go through a diet, right? But now, we need something to induce us. So now this is that point, right? You know, we talk of people generally they jump to conclusion very quickly. Whereas the world is such that there is a tartib. You follow a procedure and then you come. You can't just jump to conclusions, right? Anything that you do in life, there is a tartib, there is a procedure that you have to follow, and then you come to the end, right? So now people will talk, you know, and they jump to conclusions very, very quickly. They say now, hey, what is better? Sitting by the Buzruganadeen or sitting, go making tawaf, Haram Sharif. Now, see how they'll jump. Huh? And now, a common person will say, no, definitely Kaaba Sharif, tawaf is better. Obviously, Kaaba Sharif is the real thing. All the Buzrug also are going same place. The Buzruganadeen are going to the same place. Let alone the Buzrugs. All the Anbiya went to the same place. So now then, how you solve the whole mystery then? The whole mystery then? Because the way he's thrown it to you, that now you complicated. And this is the problem with friendship. That friendship really, it confuses you. You get confused now. You don't know what to do. So the real answer here, I just give it in this bayan, I'm giving my own words, right? The answer is that you go to this Buzurgan Deen to understand how to derive the benefit in the tawaf. To understand how to get that sweetness in the tawaf. To understand how to get that sweetness in the tilawat, making Quran Sharif tilawat, how to get that sweetness, how to get that enjoyment, how to get that understanding, how to apply that Quran, the effects of the tawaf, apply it onto your life. So, how to go about enjoying it, now you need to go for a training. Now, you didn't go for the training, what will happen is you will go very excited and very happy and go for tawaf. And 85% of the time you'll be in the Hilton, Sheraton. And now they've got amusement centers, one of its kind, all the type of amusement that you never dream of, you'll find it there. So 85% of the time, if you are not going there, then your children will teach you how to go there. Right? They will teach you. You earn the money, and they will teach you how to spend it. You went for this. That was the focus. The sweetness of this, so the coverage just came, it became an excuse for you to travel abroad. But really, then what you are doing, you are going to every other place than the Kaaba Sharif. Or you're sitting there in the haram, got a little bit old now, and you are admiring the girls that are walking past. I'm talking of real things. One person says, he actually said this. He says, the Indonesians, they sit in groups. The Haram Sharif, you'll find them sitting in groups. And they come in big numbers, 500,000, and they're sitting in one corner of the Haram Sharif. So one man is telling one buzurg, look at those innocent, beautiful faces. In the Haram Sharif, look at that, those innocent, just marvel at those innocent faces. Look at the whole group of girls, young girls, right? And all Chinese features, you know, that type of eyes and all that. He's young, not married, and he's telling the buzurg, just marvel at those girls. Do you see? Right in the haram, and what you can't do. Right in the haram, right in the parameters of the haram. So really the sweetness of the tawaf is not in you. The sweetness of the Quran is not in you. The sweetness of the zikr is not in you. The sweetness of namaz is not in you. When the sweetness is not there, the understanding is not there, that fulfillment is not there, right? You'll be going there just on false pretexts. Your mind is tuned in a different direction, though you are there, mind, your heart is in a different direction. Outwardly you're going, what are you going to achieve? So you come here, why? To create that potential. You come to the Buzurgan Deen and Mashayikh to create that potential, to create that sweetness within you. To create that ability and that potential where you can enjoy from that namaz, you can derive from that namaz. I've given you a block, I give you a shop, right? But I gave you that shop, and you don't have the potential to make business. You don't have the understanding. It's a very busy corner. It's a prime spot. But you don't have the potential. You don't have the acumen. Right? In business terms, will you make business? It's a loss, isn't it? It's a write-off. You got a right spot with everything. But you don't have the potential. You don't have the drive for the business. You don't have the feeling for the business. Now, are you going to make... It's a right spot. You go to the right place, everything. So there isn't a better place in the Kaaba Sharif. There isn't a greater place. There isn't a place that goes deeper. But do you have the potential? Do you have the acumen? Do you have the understanding? You don't have it. When you don't have it, now it's spend your money. In fact, you have gone in the wrong direction. You've come back from that tawaf or that umrah. Now your behavior is going even more putrid. Before you were at least humble, you should talk to people nicely, respectfully. Now you become aggressive in your nature. You become proud. You have an attitude. You begin to fight over small things. You slip up. You flip over small things. Does it happen or not? Tell me. Now he's got a free, don't care attitude. Now he's coming to the masjid. He went to these places. He come to the masjid. Now he doesn't have his topi. Right? He doesn't have his topi. And Now he's coming to the masjid, he's got his cell phone also blasting away in the masjid. Because he didn't go with the right frame of mind, he went and picked up the wrong things and he comes here. Do these things happen or are they realities or not? They're realities. So you sit with this Buzurgan al-Din to learn adab, to learn potential, to learn that acumen, to learn that don't waste that, that you have got a you have got an extremely valuable potential you have got. Every human being, like, he's got a terrible, terrific, wonderful potential he's got. Extreme. You know, dynamite is not the word. You know, it's such a powerful potential that he's got. But he needs to work on that. He works on it, he goes there, goes once in 20 years, but what he will get, that person that is going to everyone won't get. Because he's going, he knows what he's going for. He's got the potential. He knows how to accept it. He knows how to receive it. Otherwise, it's like, you know, those, giving all examples just to elucidate the same point. These big tankers that go with fuel, right? Big, massive tankers that are going with fuel. How many liters they must be carrying? At least, I would say 50,000 liters, right, carrying. But the vehicle itself, it doesn't have the potential to receive the petrol, to receive the fuel directly from the tank. It's carrying so much, but does it have the potential to take it directly from the tank? It doesn't. It has to go to the garage, go and collect there. It doesn't have the potential. So, through your going to the source, but you can't take. So create that potential, create that ability, create that soul of yours. So when you go, when you're in namaz now, you're taking maximum out of the namaz. You're reading Quran, you're taking maximum. That Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Khalifa, right, opens the Quran Sharif, Mahaza Manshuru Rabbi. The excitement he gets, this is the constitution of my Rabb. The constitution of my Rabb. The excitement, the thrill that he's getting, the happiness that he's getting. Why that the ability is created. Don't you see, many a person, he'll sit hours for the Quran Sharif, though he's not really, not an avid reader, not a fluent reader, but the happiness that he gets. Why? He's got that potential. He's got that adab. He's got that the love for Allah Ta'ala. He's got the love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now, when he's got that love, he's got that muhabbat, that adab, that is carrying him through. Though he doesn't have the fullest of potential, but he's worked. He's tried a little bit. To some extent, he's worked. So he'll find the enjoyment in the recitation, enjoyment in tilawat, enjoyment in whatever he's doing, but he'll find the enjoyment. That happiness, that enjoyment, that what he's supposed to be receiving, he will receive. So this is why we come here. We come to learn this. We come to learn this, to enjoy this. Al-Mawlana Gangohi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. Was about Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he had a different picture. He's young now, about 20 something. He just graduated and then he's taking bayat, you see. And that zamana, it was like that, that when people used to graduate, then they would spend years in the Islam and Reformation. But they got the Zahiri Ulum, now the Batini Ulum. So, he too has Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi that ye tahajjud wagaira mujh se nahi pahi jati, ye zikr wagaira mujh se nahi kiya jata, zikr, long zikrs and long tahajjud and all that, I can't do all these things here. Now, Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah knew the potential in the individual. Sometimes when you hear this incident, and we think, hey, you must tell the Buzruk the same thing. But you don't go, what? You don't have the potential. He had that potential. And Haji Sahib made it out. Now the Mashayikh will know exactly, more or less, that who has what. So Haji Imdadullah Sahib told him, aapko kon kehta hai tahajjud parne ke liye? Kon kehta hai zikr karne? Who's telling you to make tahajjud and get up for zikr and all? Who's telling you? But in the meanwhile, in India what happens? In the summers they have the beds in the open. Like a courtyard they have in the house. And they have, well, it's too hot inside. That will be outside. So, Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah told the Khadim that place my bed is outside, so place is also outside somewhere near there. Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah got up for tahajjud and he started his zikr. So he says, my eyes also opened up. Then I thought, let me just sleep, carry on sleeping, you know. So I turned my side. Karwat badal diya. Like how when our sleep breaks on one side, then you try the other side. Now you see the sleep is not coming. So the sleep is not coming. Why waste the night? At least for today, I'll leave tahajjud for a change. So I got up for tahajjud. He says, then from that point till I died, I never missed out my tahajjud or my zikr. I never missed out. Then they asked Maulana Gangadhar Mahapatra, "Phir kya hua?" He says, in one small sentence, says, "Phir to mar mita." What sweetness I got, what enjoyment I got after that. Then I just dedicate myself. I just gave myself up to this. Phir to mar mita. I just, in English, in Urdu, it's very, very beautifully said. But in English, you can just say, then I just gave myself. I gave up my. So Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. There are very important things in today's lesson. The kitab, inshallah, slowly get an occasion to speak. Sometimes there are things, but to make you understand it, I have to give an introduction, open it up, and then after it's been introduced, then you will appreciate it. Now, if I don't give an introduction, then you won't appreciate the context. See?